Blog Talk Radio.
Hi guys, this is Denise Bassi, Randy from All My Children.
Hey, this is Chriselle Stouse, and you're listening to Stardust Radio. Good evening and welcome to another edition of Star Dish Radio. I'm your host, Joanne, and my number here is 347-945-5423. Today is 6-25-09, and it is a particularly sad day at that. I just have to start off the show by saying that America has lost two of pop culture's phenomenons, Farrah Fawcett, who lost her battle to cancer that she fought so valiantly at the age of 62, and then just out of nowhere, the king of pop himself, Michael Jackson, dies of what appears to be a massive heart attack at the age of 50. Earlier in the week, we also lost another entertainment icon, Mr. Ed McMahon. It's a sad week in the entertainment industry, and all three of these stars had their own personal issues, public issues in the physical world, and now I truly believe they're all finally at peace, and may God bless their souls and continue to watch over their families during their grieving process and for the rest of their lives. Wow. On a lighter note, to dive into the highly competitive world of television courtroom shows, a judge needs to be funny and needs to be tough and needs to be smart. And my guest tonight is all of those things in spades. An attorney with a double degree in English and American literature, she took the bench as a municipal court justice in Cleveland, where she lent her unconventional wisdom to thousands of cases in her eight-year tenure. She left at the chance to replace exiting Judge Maybelline Lewis as the jurist on TV Smash show Divorce Court in 2006, a choice that has made her a globally respected arbiter of justice, and she can now add best-selling author to her growing list of titles with a stunning new book, My Mother's Rules, in which she details her less-than-ideal childhood. Please give a warm Star Dish Radio welcome to the amazing Judge Lynn Toler.
What a wonderful introduction. Thank you so much.
And it's so well deserved. It's an honor to have you on this show. I just have to say that.
Well, I am glad to be here.
I am a huge fan of your show.
So oh, I have good. I'm glad to enjoy it.
I am. And before I even get started, I have to give you a message from my eight-year-old son, because when he found out that you were coming on the show, he said, "Ooh, I really like Judge Lynn. She's awesome. She's my favorite out of all those judges you watch, Mom." So,
well, tell him I gave him a shout-out. A shout-out for Tyler. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Oh, gosh. So let's see. The news today, Judge Lynn, any comments on these three deaths that we've suffered over this week?
I mean, you know, it's a reminder. I mean, it says no matter who you are or what you are, you have to live every day well. I mean, who thought about Michael Jackson? I mean, it was so stunning. I mean, it was Farrah Fawcett. We were prepared. You know, we knew, and she had the ability to put closure on it, and to put everything where it needed to be, and to help those that are around her come to the place where she wasn't going to be here anymore, and she did it with such grace. Mm-hmm. And then to juxtapose that against Michael Jackson, where
amazing.
I don't know about you, but I had no clue. I mean, I don't know if he, you know, it means you never know how you're going to go. And you have to cherish every day and every person and every minute because, I mean,
it caught
me flat-footed. You really don't know. I mean, she, Farrah Fawcett, in a way, had the ability to see it coming and to prepare, and we all don't get that. And I'm not saying that's a better way to go, but that's, you know, it just shows us when Michael died so quickly that it doesn't always walk up on you slowly. Sometimes
it
go home quickly.
You know, and
so pay attention.
you know, and I was speaking to a friend of mine earlier, Brandon, and we were talking about this, and it was like Farrah Fawcett did that whole documentary,
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't watch it. I started to watch it, but I couldn't watch it because I'm a cancer survivor, and whenever I see people going through what she went through, it kind of pains me in one way, like,
right.
wow, why am I still here? You know,
yeah.
I went through a lot, too. You know, I went through, you know, 2 years of chemo and radiation, and then I thought I was good, and then it came back, and then I went through a bone marrow transplant. I went through so much, but he let me stay. Why?
Right, yeah.
So I couldn't
watch. Well, it's not for us
that.
To know, you
right.
know, so we won't know. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, and Michael Jackson, I mean, that was
That's
a stunner.
I was driving in the car with my son, and I was like, shush, are you kidding me? He was rushed to the hospital. And then within 15 minutes, they were like, he's dead. And I was like,
dead.
Oh,
he's yeah.
dead. And yeah. and it wasn't from anybody reputable. It was just TMZ reporting it. So you really didn't know what was what. But they called it. They had it right.
Yeah.
And I just, I feel for that family.
Yeah.
All
hard.
Of them. Ed McMahon, too. I mean,
yeah.
they all suffered in the physical world from hardships of their own with Ed McMahon and his, you know, financial issues.
And he
yeah.
had health issues and marriages.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, life doesn't skip any of us. You know,
no
matter how great our talent is or how great their talent is, you know, or how much talent we don't have,
right.
We all, you know, at some point or another, we all have struggles to get through.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you some stuff here, Miss Judge Lynn. TV Judge, why? How did it come to you?
I was on the bench in Cleveland, and I got a telephone call that said, hey, would you like to be a TV judge? I think someone had seen me on a local news show and thought I might be interesting. And that was a long time ago in 2001 when I took over Power of Attorney.
Okay.
And that show ended. Then I went back to being a judge, a retired judge. I used to sit on the bench for other judges. And then when Maybelline left, they needed somebody, and I quickly – and they knew me, and they called me and said, hey, could you do this? And I said, sure.
Wow. I think it's amazing. I do.
I
really do. So now, do you miss being on the bench of the type of cases that you handled in Cleveland, or do you prefer what you're doing now?
I tell you what I miss. I think I miss having access to the community the way I used to, because on the bench I really don't think I did anything grand because, you know, I was too little too late, but I had a lot of programs for young girls that I used to start, and I had access and the ability to do it a long term and a long time, and I lost that ability. But in return, I gained, one, the knowledge that I'm never going to put anybody in jail who didn't deserve to go. But you know, because that haunts you if you're there, and sometimes, you know, no one makes 100% right calls, and I'm wondering, am I always making the right call? Am I protecting everybody? Am I putting the right people in jail? And I think that's a tremendous responsibility. So that has been relieved from me, and I enjoy that, and I enjoy people, and I enjoy it's entertainment. It's not just resolution. It's entertainment. Resolution, and I try to share my sensibility with the world when I do that, and it's an opportunity to do that. So I much prefer what I'm doing now to what I was doing then.
Right. Well, I mean, I have to say, I mean, I'm not even married, but I watch this show because it's like, wow, now I know why I don't want to get married. And I see so many of these people that come on your show, and it's like, do these people really know each other? Did they really get married? I mean, some of the cases that you have to deal with on there, and like you said, it is entertainment, but it's like, does anything surprise you? I mean, you get people that come on there, oh, I've known them for 2 weeks, and then we got married. And now you're surprised you're getting divorced?
Yeah. In the beginning, it used to surprise me because I really didn't understand. I mean, you know that a lot of people get married and don't really know each other. But
right.
I never knew the extent of the errors that people make, and I see all of the bad mistakes. And these people are absolutely, completely, and utterly real. And
mm-hmm.
I'm sometimes surprised at, you know, how do you guys function and making these kind of decisions all of the time? So I was surprised. In the first year or two, I said, no, come on, you guys got to be kidding. But as I go along, I start to see you know, the reasoning that goes on. I see how much liquor is involved. I see mm-hmm. how much it's, you know, lack of exposure and, mm-hmm. and you know, the quick happy instead of the long haul. And there's a change of mores and morals that we, you know what I mean? We do things now that we wouldn't have done 20 years ago, which allows us to make these mistakes. So
right.
I'm not surprised much anymore. Used to be, though. I used to.
Right.
Yeah, my mouth used to
fall
open.
I have a guest in the chat room, Di. She says, I only knew my husband for 3 months, and we've been married for 21 years. So, I mean, you do have your cases. And what surprises me sometimes, I guess, and I guess it shows the change of the times, back in the day, they used to marry their daughters off at 13 and 14 years old.
Absolutely.
And,
but we also
went.
Didn't live as long back in the day
right.
either. I mean, our life has extended, and they also, you know, there was more of a parental, this idea of romantic love is something that was mm-hmm. really new in the 1800s, and before mm-hmm. then it was marriages were all about alliances. And
right.
yes, some people get married after 24 hours and live happily ever after. That's the exception mm-hmm. that proves the rule. But my take is, if it's really right, waiting won't hurt a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you can. It happens that people do that, but it's extraordinary.
Right, and if it's meant to be, there's really no reason to rush.
Right.
I
no.
mean,
yeah. If it's meant to be, getting married now as opposed to a year from now, it's
right.
not going to make any difference.
Right.
And everybody thinks they're meant to be in the first rush of love, and it's hard to tell if you are truly that exception, because the feeling of falling in love in and of itself is exceptional, and you just
right.
don't know if you're that one in a million couple that can get away with something like that.
Exactly. So like, now I have to say I'm really guilty of watching all of these judge shows, and
right.
I've learned so much because I spent so much time in the hospital. I did nothing but watch TV, and there was, you know, that's what I did, my soaps and my judge shows. And I see so many people make these mistakes with combining their assets too early, too soon, and then wanting to come back and take it back just because, you know, they're getting divorced. You can't do things like that. When do you think, in your professional opinion, for everything that you've seen, when do you think that a couple should do that, and should you always keep separate, you know, checking accounts and savings accounts? And,
I mean,
and even though you're married.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It really depends on who you are, what your goals are, and what state you live in. In some, you know, the laws are different in every state, and how you divide assets in the event of a divorce depends on where you live, if you live in an equitable distribution state or if you live in a community property state like California. So if you are older and established and you have money and have children from a previous relationship, I think it's really incumbent upon you. You should be required to really look at what you're doing before you get married. So if you want to make sure that you don't disinherit your children accidentally, or if it does end, I'm a strong believer in prenuptial agreements. People say I'm not romantic. I suppose that's the case, but there's nothing wrong with saying if it does end, this is how
mm-hmm.
we'll do it.
Right.
I just don't see anything wrong with it. People say I'm not romantic, and that's quite true. But
yeah, but you know what? You have to protect yourself. I mean, I don't know. I guess I would have never really thought about it until I started watching stuff, and it just surprises me how uneducated about a lot of stuff that I was, you know. But shows like yours and the other ones, they do educate you. I mean, people do see them as a value of entertainment, but they are very informative.
I have to say.
I've learned a lot.
Well, you know, I had started doing sessions called Before Your Vows, and I don't know if you've ever seen those, where I always think it's better to get things before they become a problem. So I would
mm-hmm.
talk to couples that are engaged. And now, even as we speak, we are doing a show called Wedlock or Deadlock that's going to start in July, that's going to
okay.
have a psychologist, economic guys, therapist, whatever you need to help you deal with your issues before you get married, so
okay.
to make sure you don't make that mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Called Wedlock or Deadlock.
Yeah, I saw that on your website. That's a great idea. That's really a great idea. I mean, depending on your religion, you have to go for counseling before you get married anyway. You know what I mean?
And
so,
I think people should. I think everybody
mm-hmm.
should. I really think that, I mean, you have to do something to get a license for everything else. I think you ought to do something to get a license to wed, and that's at least have a clue as to what you're getting into.
Exactly. And then there should, I'm going to get into this one, there definitely should be license to have children. especially, you know, let me tell you, especially when you got people out there such as, never mind just the deadbeat dads or deadbeat moms, because there's always someone like that. But, you know, as far as this Octomom chick and John and Kate plus 800, and it's like, come on. And then what are your thoughts on that Octomom business?
Well, I mean, I think the children are a tragic symptom of a problem that she otherwise had, and it's so hard to, society can say who can and cannot procreate. The problem is she just didn't, you know, she had, I believe, and I don't know her, but she had issues that needed to be dealt with on a mental health side before, you know what I mean? And whoever was around her, her family, her people, her ex-husband or whoever, we have to take care of one another. And, you know, you can't say you can procreate, you can't procreate. I mean, we don't have a right to do that as a society. But what we do have an obligation to do as society is to take care of everybody and take care of our own. And in that way, you can never ensure that that kind of thing never happens. But I don't know. I mean, it's such an extraordinary.
It is.
extraordinary thing.
I go crazy when I see stuff like this. I really, really do. And then John and Kate Gosselin. Now, I don't even know. I've never watched their show. I never had any interest in watching their show. And now they're all over the television.
Everywhere.
And everywhere you look. My mother always tried to get me to watch it. She's like, oh, Joanne, you got to watch it. It's such a cute show. And I was like, you know what? I got two kids, and I'm single. I don't need to watch someone with eight kids. I really don't.
I've got enough troubles of my own, right?
Exactly. I really don't need to watch it. And I never, ever got into it. Now they're everywhere, and I feel bad for all those kids. I mean, a lot of point of views have been brought up about the children, you know, that they've been under the camera since day one and they've been raised under the camera. Is it too much? Are they going to suffer from now, especially, you know, with the fact that they're getting divorced? And, you know, I mean, these kids are really in a position to grow up kind of messed up if it's not done the right way.
Yeah, I mean, and the cameras is just one element of it. We're all capable of messing up our children.
Right.
So I mean, they picked the set of problems they wanted to solve. They were going to either have money problems or they did this show. And I think kids can adjust as long as they've got two stable parents in the home and as long as their relationship is strong and they put the children first. I mean, the big world, little people, big world. Those kids are doing just fine. The Duggars with the 18 kids, they're doing just fine. So it's not the cameras in and of themselves. Sure, that's an extra stressor and an element, but we can all do a good job. And you pick your situation, and whatever your situation is, you make sure you handle it in a way that the children don't get hurt. We don't know whether they would have broken up or not had they not had the cameras. We don't know that could have been an additional factor. But they would have been under tremendous economic stress had they not done that, which would have been a stressor on the marriage and may have ended it as well. So it's not real cut and dry.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a couple of different ways to look at it.
So when people come to your courtroom, what are the qualifications to appear before you? They have to have already filed for divorce.
Well, they have to actually be married, because we make sure we check their marriage licenses, because sometimes people just want to be on television,
and
we want to make sure that two people aren't just hooking up, hey, let's go on divorce court. So they have to send us identification, they have to send us proof of their marriage license, and once that they've done that and they intend to file, and what we really do is arbitrate a specific financial issue that they want to have concluded and rendered a decision on quickly. Like if there's a dog, Fluffy, and both people want Fluffy, you know, I can decide that they give me the right. I have a binding arbitration agreement, and I can make a decision with respect to the car, Fluffy, damages, that kind of thing, and then my ruling is legal, enforceable. They have to abide by it.
Right. Now, you have to do, I would imagine, and have probably law clerks that help you with this, do a lot of research for each different state.
Well, I don't do it that way. What I do is I am a binding arbitrator, so I don't change the legal precepts based upon which state they're coming from. They've agreed that they will do a decision as I see fit, and I have a set of rules that is basically based on the equitable distribution state, how they do it in Ohio. And, yeah, so I don't have to change law every time I see people. That would be tremendous.
Oh, God, I know. I mean, that would be something else. Because I see, like, on Judge Mathis or Judge Alex, they go, well, in your state, you can only do this. And in your state, you can only do that. I can't give you more than this because that's what your state allows. I'm like, wow, man. These people,
that's really
have to do
difficult.
Their homework.
Yeah, yeah. And in the case of divorce, the states are so different and so drastic, and we usually have issues that would probably come out the same way in a community property state and equal distribution state. So we choose to have just binding arbitration and work it that way.
Mm-hmm. So the bottom line is what Judge Lynn Tolbert says goes, and that's it.
There you go.
You know,
there you go.
What have been some of your most bizarre cases that you could think of off the top of your head? I mean, in my opinion, I think one of the most bizarre cases you had was Gary Coleman.
That was interesting. He was, you know, I really enjoyed that. When Gary Coleman is a really bright, interesting guy, and mm-hmm. no one ever really sees him like that. But when you speak to him, because I got an opportunity to speak to him even before the case, he was very interesting and introspective, and he just got stuck on this one emotional note and can't get off of it. And
mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed that case because I had an opportunity to someone who really wanted to be wanted to understand what they're doing. They knew they were doing something wrong, couldn't stop it, and wanted to find a way to get it right. And he was one of those people. And he's a bright guy, and he could hear what I said, whether or not he could implement what I asked him to do. You know, I really don't know.
Now, would you guys, divorce court, go back and revisit some of your cases to see if they got back together or if they decided, you know, to just, let's split up? Like, I saw one last week where they decided that they were going to try and work it out anyway. You know, I mean, I sat there and I tried to remember names of all your cases, and I just couldn't do it. I just enjoy watching them
so
much.
Yeah, there's so many. Yeah, yeah.
I really do. And I love in the end how you pull out all these issues that they don't even realize that they have, and you're like, you know what? No recovery. And I'm like, yes, no recovery. Go ahead. You know, now go figure it out on your own. And then they go out to that little meeting place out in the foyer, and they're like, okay, well, can you do this and can you do that? And sometimes you do see them get back together right then and there. Do you guys ever go to revisit them?
Yeah, we do.
Does that actually work?
We do update shows. A lot of times they will come here, and the fact of being here together, you know, flying out together and going through this experience, they get to talking, well, maybe we can work it out. And then they get back together and find the same problems are still there, and they end up coming back to divorce court because they have another financial issue that cropped up during the course of their reconciliation. And they do come back, and we do see them, do an update, find out what happened. We play a little bit of the first tape of the first show to remind everybody what they did the first time. And then inevitably my first question to them is, why are we back here today? I thought you two were going your separate ways. And they explained to me how, you know, because love is a funny thing. You can, after you're not around each other for a while, you forget the problems, then you see them again, and feelings reemerge, and boom, you're back
in it. I've
seen
a couple of those shows, and they kind of surprised me. I mean, one specifically that was just on the other day, and I know it was a repeat, but it was one particular girl who was into girls and into guys, and he kept calling her a trisexual. And
I remember that one,
You remember? Oh, my God, she just try anything. I couldn't stop laughing, and I couldn't believe that they thought that they could stay married under the circumstances. Things just surprise me to no end. They really do.
Yeah, but well, people really abandon reason when love comes. You know, when it comes to love, they go with how they feel, and then they rearrange the facts in their head to fit how they feel, because how they feel is so urgent. And so you can't really, you know, sometimes I think, you know, let's walk through the logic of that together, and it's almost a silly question because logic has very, very little to do with it.
Right, right. Well, you know, let me change topics real quick. Let's go into Chris Brown and Rihanna. I mean, don't see too many abuse cases in divorce court. You know,
We stay away from them on purpose because we think that's such a serious issue that we just don't want to dabble for a half an hour. So we usually really try to stay away from them. If there's anything, you know, if somebody puts a hole in the wall or something like that.
Right.
But we really try to stay. It's such a serious issue.
Yeah. Now, Whoopi Goldberg stated on The View the other day that if a female hits a male, they should expect to get hit back. And this was done on the day that Chris Brown was charged. It was Tuesday, after striking up a deal where he pled guilty to one count of assault with the intent of great bodily injury. So that was part of their hot topics. And I was kind of shocked to hear her say that. I don't know, maybe because it was just a rule, you know, that I grew up with, you know, boys don't hit girls. And that's the way that it was.
A lot of people believe that. I did a blog on Rihanna and Chris Brown, and a lot of people responded that if a woman hits a guy, she gets hit back. First of all, I want to say that I don't think that – I think the facts did not demonstrate that that's what happened in that car. He was just hitting on her. And even if you get hit, even if you do hit and you get hit back, you can't keep hitting that person just because the other person started it. Your response, even in self-defense, has to be geared and reasonable – response to the force against you, but I don't believe in that. I asked my husband when that happened. I said, if I went crazy and hit you, what would you hit me back? And he looked at me and he said, who do you think I am? And it lacks dignity. It's like showing up to a fist fight with a rifle. I teach my sons, you don't hit girls. If you have a girl that's hitting you, you need to get, you know, change your circle, social circle. And I'm sure if I lost my mind and would hit my husband after he got through laughing, he'd probably restrain me. That lacks dignity to hit a woman, and that's the way it is, and that's what I believe. And now on a legal end, if I was in court again, I would have to treat the man and the woman the same. If a woman hit a man, she would face the same domestic violence penalties as otherwise round. But I expect my sons to do better than the law requires.
Exactly.
And I don't let them hit women. And that's what I teach. That's what I believe. That's what my husband believes. And that's what that is.
That's my belief also. I had an incident with my 16-year-old. He was in school, and a girl smacked him in his face. Because whatever, stupid rumors or whatever, who was talking about who or whatever. But she walked up to him and smacked him in the face. And he was like, Ma, I wanted to smack her. I said, Christian, not for nothing. If you would have hit her, you would have been the one in jail because you got like a 5-foot little girl who's smacking on you. And if you would have hit her back, and I hate to say it, but the law kind of does lean towards the man more than they do the women, you know, in cases like that. It's like, you know, if she don't have a mark on her, you know, if you don't have a mark on you, you know what I mean? So I was like, you just need to walk away. Something like that happens. And he ended up having more confrontations with this girl. And I was like, if she puts her hands on you, I said, I don't care if you feel like you're less of a man or less of a boy, you need to go tell somebody, I said, and not hit that girl.
Exactly.
Because you're the one that'll get the short
trouble,
end of the stick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and especially since you're a mixed boy in a predominantly white school, hello, you got to watch what you're doing. It's not. So, okay, I wanted to get your thoughts on that. We actually have some callers. You ready to take a phone call?
I sure am.
All right, girl. I love that you're on this show. Area code 301, you're on the phone with the fabulous Judge Lynn Toler. What's your name?
My name is Delicious.
Hi, Delicious. Say hi to the wonderful
Judge.
Hi, Judge
Lynn Toler. How are you?
I am fine. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Good.
What I would like to know is, like, when you have two people in court and they're divorcing each other and there's finances, let's say, like, if somebody's suing somebody for monetary, how do you enforce them giving that money back when you award it to either one of them? How is that enforced?
In any courtroom, once you get an order on a piece of paper, really, it is just a piece of paper in any court, in any civil court. And what you can do, if they fail to follow the payment as required by that certain date, you can go back to court and get an order of contempt. And then when you are in contempt of court, there are penalties that the court can enforce it that way. So like if you don't pay your child support,
mm-hmm.
and there's an order, you're in contempt, you can go to jail.
Oh, okay, because I was just wondering, you know, because sometimes I know it was a show I had saw in the you had awarded somebody the money, and they kept saying, you're not getting nothing, you're not getting,
right,
you're just going to wait.
No, they can go to court with that piece of paper wherever they are, because you have to have a local court, and you can get that court order enforced.
Oh, okay, because I just wondered about that.
Yeah, nope, yep, that's what you do, and you know, or you can attach things, you know, if you have a valid judgment against somebody and they're not paying it, you can go to a court and get, you can attach bank accounts, you can attach wages, garnish wages. There's a whole system in municipal court that I used to be in that was solely designed to retrieve money that has been properly awarded and not paid. So, I mean, it's different than child support. You can go to jail for that, but
right.
You can go to court and get the money attached and other different ways to find it and get it.
Okay. Are any of your shows done live, or are they pre-recorded?
Oh, they're all taped.
Oh, okay.
They are all taped.
Oh, okay. So you don't do any live shows.
Yeah, because we're scared to do something live because you don't know what people are going to say. You know? Can you imagine you're talking about marriage and this, that? And, you know, people do some wild stuff. We have to cut a lot of stuff out. I mean, as wild as the stuff you do see,
right.
You should see what we have to cut out.
Oh, my goodness. There was a guy in there the other day. He was saying how he put on his G-string underwear and he'd be shaking it and all this and that. I saw that one. That was kind of funny because I don't know, you know, how that case came out because I stopped watching it in a few minutes, but it was just funny how some of them come in there saying they think they're God's gift to women, and they be saying stuff like, look at me, I know I look good, you know.
People are something.
Yeah.
People are amazing. You give them a platform, you give them a stage, and they'll show you really what, you know, what they're thinking and believing.
Yeah, it's really something. The one today where the guy wanted his wife to stop talking. She was begging him to take her back.
I didn't see, you know, I'm working on a new show today, so I haven't watched the TV in a while.
I think that was
I don't know which one came on.
Yeah, I think that was
probably. I think we're, yeah,
back.
Probably.
Yeah. But she was begging him, saying how she brings him breakfast, and then he complains about that, and he just wanted her to stop talking. You know, they look like they have been together. Well, they were only together about 13 years, but they were like an older couple.
Right.
You know. So, how do you feel about when those older couples that have been together for 20 and 30 years come before you? Do you ever
it hurts
like
my
this?
Feelings, but
right.
Sometimes, you know, sometimes, I don't know. I think it's sad when people are together and they don't want to be together and they're just together out of habit. But it's also sad that, you know, after 20 years they can't find a way to figure it out. But if one party is really, you know, unhappy or, if you know, you know, we're living longer these days.
Right.
So, I mean, if you're unhappy at 50, you got another 25 years, 30 years to be unhappy. So you might want to rethink it.
Wow.
I'm a big fan of marriage, though. I always
try
to work it out first. I'm a real big fan of hanging in there if you can.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've never been married, but hopefully one day I may get married, and I'm going to be in it for the duration. My husband would have to leave the country before I ever
get let him go, huh?
Yeah. But I believe in the vows, you know. Like I said, I've never been married, but if I ever got married, I'm definitely going to be in for the duration. And the only way that my husband, you know, would leave is if he did the unspeakable, and that is if he committed adultery. But then again, I would have to see him in order for me to actually, you know, leave him, because you can't take anybody's word. Somebody come back and tell you, I seen John down there with so-and-so. You know, you can't do that because he might be down there just talking to somebody. You know, so that's just my take on the marriage thing.
Well, good luck. I hope it happens for you.
I do, too. I really
Thanks,
do.
Delicious.
All right, you're welcome. You guys have a good evening, okay?
You too.
You too.
All right, bye-bye.
Yeah. You know what? I don't want to sound like I'm down on marriage. I guess I just really never saw too many marriages work out. And,
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. My parents' marriage worked out, but, you know, they weren't having fun all the time either. My husband's parents' marriage worked out, and we've been married for 20 years. So I guess it's a lot of our friends didn't make it. So,
right.
I mean, every marriage is as different as the two people that enter into it, and it has to do with not only who you are, but how hard you try. And I think people give up too easily. And people think that if I find my soulmate, it's going to be, you know, seamless and effortless, and that's just not true. It's always a job. Always a job.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it is work. I mean, I see people that are married that think that things are supposed to just be. And I'm like, no, you give up too easily. It really surprises me how many people give up so easily. You know, and I mean, I'm a single mother. I have two kids, and they're both by two different fathers. You know, one was my high school sweetheart. We were together for, oh my God, almost 16 years. Well, actually more than that, because my son is 16, so about 18 years, if I have my math right. And then the other one, he just turned out to be a real jerk. You know, we were together for 2 years, but he was a jerk. And that's just the way that it worked out, and I was kind of sour on it ever since. And I don't know. I think my fear would be to have another man come in and get my children used to them and it not to work out
away.
Again.
Yeah. No, that's a hard thing when you have kids. It really is, because you have to think of them first and what you need second. So, yeah, I understand completely, and I really respect that point of view.
Yeah. What do you think of these moms that go out and just get married for the reason of the kids? Because one baby daddy isn't there, so they figure they got to get him a father. And then it turns out to be some kind of ridiculous situation later on.
Well, I mean, you know, it's really hard to opine on that because when, you know, what people, you can get married for the wrong reasons and have a really good result. You can get married for all the right reasons and have a really bad result. It depends on, you know, I can see marrying a guy for, you know, that you love and you care about and you want to give stability to your kids, and that's part of what you're doing. And you look at the guy in terms of that. I can see that happening, and I don't think that's a bad thing. You know, dramatic, romantic love in and of itself makes everything work out. So you do have to take logistics and all of that kind of thing into account and what you're looking for and what you want for both your kids and yourself. So I can't make a broad statement that that's a bad thing. You got to take everything into account. And, you know, marriage is an alliance. It's two people coming together to build a life. And that has financial ramifications and emotional ramifications, and you've got to think it all through. It can't be, oh, I just love him so much. That's not the sole criteria.
Right. Well, so I knew I did right by not marrying my first son's father, that's for sure. We made better friends than anything else. I mean, we're best friends till this day. He's married off now and got more babies and everything, but, you know, him and I are best friends now, which we would have never been if we would have stayed together.
Married, right.
Do you believe in staying married for the children?
It depends. I mean, it depends. If you are in a household that is abusive and wild and chaotic, no. You have to have stability, and sometimes you can have more stability alone than you can in the middle of a tornado. If, however, you're just not enamored of him anymore and it's just kind of mundane and you don't like it, don't get divorced. Get a date night. Put some effort into it. But I don't believe, well, I could just be happier somewhere else. I think the kid's stability should take forefront, and you should say, hey, you may not be, you know, the wild and crazy man and wonderful guy that I thought I married, but everything's fine. And I would do that if I was married to a guy and I didn't love him anymore, but I got little kids with him. I'd hang in there and try to make it better.
Right. Now, we see the president and his wife have been closely watched since day one, and now especially since, you know, their infamous date nights. That's really important, I think. And I think it's really nice that he is both of them are making that effort, regardless of his position of power now, to keep
Right, yeah, to keep the love alive and to pay attention to her. Yeah, it's a wonderful example.
Oh, I think so. I think that really is. Now, do you think that we follow patterns? You know, you hear that saying, oh, you know, a woman always ends up choosing someone who's like her father and vice versa for the male. Do you think that we really do have patterns that we're, like, predisposed to follow?
Well, I think that oftentimes you follow the script that you've seen. If you think, you know, if this is what you've been exposed to, that's how you know to act and respond. Sometimes you do. Sometimes you grow up in, I've met people who grow up in a household, saw their father hit their mother, and the guy swore, I would never, ever do that because it was so hard for me. So, I mean, you can fall into patterns. A lot of that, I mean, a lot of research shows that people do tend to fall into the patterns that they have seen simply because that's the only script that they know. But we as human beings, we have the ability to make decisions no matter about how we're going to behave and what we're going to do. So, you know, it's partly what you see, but it's partly what you decide to do with what you've seen.
Right, right. Can't always use your upbringing as an excuse for...
Right, for not doing the right thing.
Right, right. No, I agree with you on that. Do you think... What are your thoughts on internet dating, I should say?
I don't really know. I think it's probably better than I thought it was because I'm so old school and I just think you don't know these people. It's just there's so much margin for error and people have such an ability to disguise themselves because you can't see them, you can't talk to them, you can't assess them, and you don't know people that know the both of you or people see who's around them. I just think it's fraught with problems, but apparently some very, you know, very nice things have happened over the internet, and you know, there's, you can have bad bar stories too. So I think that you know, my mind is opening on that issue.
Yeah, I have an aunt who did the eHarmony, and she's 6 years now with a guy.
Yeah, I mean, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are very good. Some of them are very, very good. And I have friends who have met people online and through dating services and had very successful relationships. So,
right.
You know.
How did you and your husband meet?
We met at a basketball game. It's not an interesting story, you know. we just met at a basketball game.
Well, you know, you have such power and such presence in the courtroom. I mean, I think what impresses me the most is just the way that you speak and the diction in your voice. And it, how does that go over at home? Who's the judge at home?
Oh, I don't know. We, you know, I'm very direct and, you know, but my husband, everybody has their area of authority. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I make the rules over here. He makes the rules over there. And we enforce each other when it comes to the kids. So.
I have a question in the chat room. They want to know, how do you know the difference between baggage and learning from your mistakes?
Baggage is when you let what happened to your past determine what you do in the future. Learning from your mistakes is having what you've done in the past teach you what not to do in the future. You don't keep repeating what you've done. You sit down, you take a look at what happened, figure out what went wrong, and that's how baggage becomes education. And then you act differently the next time around. Even though you may not feel differently, you know how you feel and what you did didn't turn out right. So you do something else next time.
Okay. And part to that question, she also asks, what does she think the difference is between patience and waiting?
Geez, I mean, that's hard. That's a hard one to answer. I mean, you have to have patience to wait sometimes, or sometimes you don't. That's a difficult one to answer. I'm not really, I mean, patience is if you wait well, waiting well. You know what I mean? You can wait and be angry and anxious and upset, or you can wait and be calm and cool and understand that there's nothing you can do until another time. So
right.
Yes, patience is waiting well.
Right. And I want everybody in the chat room, I put in a link to Judge Wynn's website. She has a really cool little quiz on there. And I took it today.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think I scored too well on it.
Well, it's really, there's no score involved. It's just a matter of you taking the time to do an emotional inventory and decide where you are in life, and if you're where you want to be or where you're weak or where you have the ability to have more emotional control. So there's no right or wrong answers. There's no good score or bad score.
Mm-hmm.
There's simply the good thing. A good score is a score. It's just that you've taken the test, and it hopefully has given you some insight on things that you might not have thought through.
I see. Now, I think that it makes you look at yourself, and it did make me look at myself.
Right, and that's the whole point.
Yeah, and I challenged everybody. I put it up on Facebook and on the website, and challenged everybody to take it because it does make you look at yourself a little bit more closely. Now, cases that have children involved. As far as maybe not particularly to your show, but say cases where you have fathers that don't pay child support or pay child support and don't give any other support to the kids, which do you think is more, and I think I know your answer, but which do you think is more important, the financial support that they're required by law to pay or the more emotional and love and support that they should, as a moral human being, give to their kids?
Well, I mean, if you're giving emotional love and support, you got to feed them too. I mean, that's not
mm-hmm.
love. If they're hungry and you're hugging them, who cares? I mean,
right.
it's helpful, but if you really love them, you can't see your children hungry and going without. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I would rather have a guy who has no money to give be around, certainly, but I would think that, at least in my case, I would hope that, I mean, if you got to get a job at McDonald's, you would do something
mm-hmm.
for your children, because that's
right.
part of the emotional love and support. But financial support in and of itself is not enough.
Right. No, I agree. I have and I ask because I have a friend who goes through that where all they do is get a check. And the father has never, I think, seen the child once. And the child now makes up stories about the father.
Mm-hmm.
And never met him before, you know, or that he remembers anyway. And, you know, they're like, well, at least I get that check. And I'm like, yeah, but, you know, the kid's making up stories about someone he never met before. Don't you think that's, like, needed too, you know?
Yeah, no. I mean, it's hard. I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, it's you know, everybody ought to do what they ought to, what they're responsible for. If you bring a life into this world, you have a responsibility to care for it both emotionally and financially.
And that's where there should be a law for these people to have licenses to give birth and inseminate people, because it's just insane. There's too many people out there that father and mother children that don't take care of them on either level, in my opinion.
No, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. I have another caller for you, dear Judge. We're going to area code 512. Area code 512. Brandon, you there?
Yes, I am, Joanne. How you doing?
Good. Say hi to the fabulous Judge Lynn.
Hello, Your Honor. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing well. So I just want to ask you a question. You know, you stepped into a pretty tough legacy here with Judge Wapner and Judge Judy and, you know, all these very famous television judges. And I'm wondering how you feel about the fact that you're before millions of people every day, you know, being able to impart some wisdom. Do you feel what kind of responsibility do you feel to the people who are watching you?
I mean, I feel obligated to say something every day that has some value in some way, to give a lesson that people looking at me can extrapolate from and say, you know, even though the case was wild and crazy, she got them to see something, or there's a kernel of truth, or I see myself and what I shouldn't do. So in addition to my responsibility to entertain, I have a responsibility to try to give a takeaway to the people that are watching that is somehow positive or educational.
Absolutely. Well, I think you're absolutely terrific, and I'm so glad that you were on Joanne's show tonight. This has been a very interesting conversation to listen to.
Oh, great. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brandon.
Thanks, Joanne.
Anytime. So how in the world of TV judges, if you go, say, you decide to retire from divorce court and then they replace you with another judge, how do you want to be remembered in comparison to the other TV judges?
I don't think I want to be remembered in comparison with the other TV judges. I think I just want to be remembered as she was funny and she had common sense, and you can always tell she spoke from her heart. You know,
you
I mean,
really
I can't did. I can't be a Judy, I can't be Maybelline, I can't be anybody, but what I am, and I try to do what I'm doing, which is to be entertaining, to be funny, but to be, you know, heartfelt and truthful.
I mean, I honestly have the utmost respect for you as a judge, and I think that you come off, I mean, I watch them all, like I said, and I like them for all their different quirks that they have. They all have their own styles of judging. Yours is a little different than theirs as far as the type of cases that you see compared to the others, but I don't know, there's just something about you, a presence, when you speak, it's like your voice just commands that attention, and it just throws out that authority, and it's just like you listen. And it's not like you listen just to hear. You actually listen to what you're saying and take away from the lessons that you go through with your cases on television.
Yeah, well, I try. I try to pay attention and listen to people and get what I can.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about your book.
It's called My Mother's Rules, and it's the it's just the what I learned. My father was bipolar, and my mother was a very stable, emotionally aware person, and it was just about how you learn to handle your emotions well, even when situations are difficult. So I write about my childhood, and then at the end of every chapter, the rules that my mother gave me to function and do well, even under those circumstances.
Mm-hmm. And on Judge Lynn's website, she has a video rule of the month, so you guys can go to her website and check out her video rule of the month. They're very interesting. I actually have posted a link to the book through Amazon.com on my website, or you can actually purchase it off of Judge Lynn's website, which I put the link in the chat room for everybody to check out. What's coming up for Divorce Court? When's the new season?
New season starts in September, but I don't know what day.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I don't know what day yet, but it will be sometime in September.
And do we know what's coming when your new show, Wedlock and Deadlocked?
Wedlock or Deadlock is going to start on July 20th, but it's only going to be in we're just testing it out, so it's going to be in Phoenix, Atlanta, New York. Oh, my. I've forgotten. Isn't that terrible? Phoenix, Atlanta, New York, Memphis, Orlando, Tampa, and good grief. Can't remember the last one. But seven
cities. Do we know what channel it's going to be on? Do we know what station it is?
If you go on my blog, on MySpace, on my blog, I have all the channels, times, and stations.
Oh, okay. So we have to go to Judge Lynn's
The official Judge Lynn MySpace page, and I have everything right there.
Is that what it says on? Because I went looking for the MySpace, and I found all these other ones, but I couldn't find the actual
one.
Yeah,
I think it's the official. I think it starts with the official Judge Lynn. Or go to my website, www.judgelynn.com, and it's on there because it's there.
Okay, perfect. Well, I can't tell you enough how much I've enjoyed this. I really, really am a true fan. I'm actually a little gush and starstruck, which, you know, I normally don't get. But, you know, I just watched you a couple hours ago.
Well, good. Well, thank you so much.
You know,
I enjoyed talking.
Well, Judge Lynn, before I let you go, could I be so bold as to ask you to give me a little promo for my show?
Sure, no problem. What would you like to say?
Anything, as long as it has your name and Stardish Radio in it, and we're good. And
okay.
I'm recording whenever you're ready.
All right. You ready?
Uh-huh.
This is Judge Lynn Toler, and I had a wonderful time on Stardish. Listen to it when you can.
Wonderful. Judge Lynn, always a pleasure, and
All right.
I can't wait. Thank you so much.
You're more than welcome. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
The amazing Judge Lynn Toler. I have goosebumps. Oh, my gosh. It was a pleasure having her on the show. Working on Judge Mathis, actually, and Judge Alex. Hopefully they'll be coming on soon with me. And next week we have Heath Kizier, who was formerly on Young and the Restless, who is now an author himself. He'll be with me on the 30th of June. So make sure you come and check that out. I am going to bring Brandon back on the line. Brandon?
Yes, ma'am.
I pronounced his name wrong, didn't I?
Yes, you did. It's pronounced Kizier. It's like desire.
Heath Kizier. What did I say? Kizier. Okay. Well, I tried to make it a little bit more flamboyant, okay? Wow. I have, well, I think that she was just fabulous.
She was
I love Judge. Yeah, she's very informative, and you know what I like about her? I mean, she's good and funny on her show, but she's a no-nonsense judge,
mm-hmm.
You know. Everybody in the chat room saying hi to you. Di is saying hi to Brandon.
Hi, guys.
Hi,
I'm baking a cake right now, or I would say hi.
You're baking a cake?
Yes, I am.
For who?
Oh, my partner's father and stepmother are visiting, and I was going to make a pineapple upside-down cake, but I couldn't find a recipe that I could live with, so...
Oh,
I'm making a Dr. Pepper cake.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know what to tell you. So that's my next show. Nothing coming up for you in the next couple days?
I got a yes yesterday from somebody that I don't want to jinx it, so I'm not going to say who it was, but
okay.
But hopefully we're going to get a date next week. We don't have a firm date as of yet, but stay tuned to brandonsbuzz.com, and when I get a final confirmation, I will let you guys know. But it's very exciting.
Okay. Wonderful, and I should also be getting a confirmation soon on Ricky Paul Golden. I know I accidentally sent you an email today, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Thank God it was you. That's all I got to say. Thank God it was you. But it's going to be an interesting week, so we'll see what happens with that. It is 10:59, and I just want to say thanks to everybody for tuning in for Judge Lynn Toler. Go check out her website, judgelynn.com. Make sure you watch Divorce Court. The repeats are airing now. The new season starts in September. And keep tuning in to Stardish. Check out stardishradio.com for the new guest list updates. Sign up at the email address. The email box provided to receive the updates. And make sure you check out brandonsbuzz.com.
Absolutely.
His wonderful blog. And I have to give a shout-out to buzzworthyradio.com, who was in the chat room. Make sure you go check them out as well. And I guess that's it. We're going to sign off here on Stardish, and we will be back on the 30th with Heath Kizier. Is that better?
You got it.
All right, guys. Have a good night, and I'll talk to you all soon.
Bye, everybody.
Good night.
Hi, this is Aiden Turner on Stardish Radio.
Hey, everybody. This is Brandon Barash, and thank you for listening to Stardish Radio.
Hi, this is Barbara Allen Woods from One Tree Hill, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
Hi, guys. This is Denise Bassey, Randy from All My Children.
Hey, this is Chriselle Stouse, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
You presume I'm weak, you presume I'm frail, but your perceptions won't prevail. I'm made more than what you see. Hi, this is Kimberly Locke, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.